Today's sponsor is Audible.com, who has more than 180,000 audiobooks and spoken word audio products. Get a free audiobook of your choice at www.audiblepodcast.com/Alonzo. Hi, this is Alonzo Bowden, and once again, I'm telling you, you need to be driving with Uber. You know the advantages by now. First of all, you can make money, and there's nothing wrong with making money. You might make it your primary income, you might do it for extra income, but you're making money. Also, you're your own boss. That's right, set your own hours. Work where you want to work and when you want to work. Work it around your schedule. You might be going to school, you might be raising the kids, whatever you want to do, when you want to do it, you're the boss. Do it your way. Here's another benefit. All you need is a car and a driver's license, two things you probably already have. So you've got everything. You're equipped to be an Uber driver. Now here's something really cool. Last week, Jay Leno drove an Uber. Yeah, just for a little while, Jay drove an Uber. But here's the bonus. Now, if you drive an Uber, when people ask, what do? You just tell them, hey, I work with Jay, right? Technically, you work with Jay. Jay drove an Uber, you drive an Uber. It's a benefit. You can't go wrong. This is a great way to make some extra money. So all joking aside, this is what you do. Go to drivewithuber.com. That's drivewithuber.com. You'll find out everything you need to know. Start driving with Uber today. Make some extra money. Be your own boss. Work your own schedule. Drive with Uber. Intro, I don't even know. Like, I'm actually introducing my own name because the way he was going sounded so good. I was waiting for the ladies and gentlemen. Hello, everyone. My name is Alonzo Bowden. Welcome to the podcast. Who's paying attention? Woo. We are going to goof around about some news stories. There's a lot going on this week. We are at the beautiful Sofitel Hotel. And just, we're not actually in Beverly Hills, okay? He lied to you. We are Beverly Hills adjacent, but we are definitely close enough that I don't belong here. to those listening, this is an ultra-hip hotel. We're right across the street from the Beverly Center. Downstairs, they're having some kind of Emmy party. Like, this is crazy cool, and it's a podcast festival, so all the real cool kids are walking around, because you got to be really cool to spend your weekend walking around listening to podcasts. You know what I mean? That's like next level hip. That I should actually have a beard just to be here. I should have a beard. So anyway, I am here. I have my guest, Baron Vaughn.
Hello.
Hilarious. Hey. Young con. And Tamer, tell me your last name, Tamer. I'm
Kattan.
Sorry. Kattan. Tamer Kattan. Sorry, Tamer Kattan.
Hey. Thanks.
I am just meeting Tamer today. Tamer is a comic. He started out in L.A., and he's gone international, which really impresses me. He lived in London for how long?
Year and a half,
and he's worked all through Asia, the Middle East. Like, comics out of London get to work everywhere in the world, and so you've been doing that. So he's going to bring that point of view. Now, I know Sarah Palin says there's no reason to ever leave the United States because we're the best country on earth. And you got, but there, if you actually travel, you get a hell of a perspective. So he's going to bring that. And Baron Vaughn is a hilarious guy. We met doing that Monday night show. What's the name of that show?
It was called Fringe.
Fringe. Yeah, it's a really hip Monday night comedy show. I like working with young comics to see what the next generation is doing. And he's so funny. Like, we argue because I don't want to follow him, and he doesn't want to follow me. He's got the young funny going. I've been doing this for 20-something years. Know your place, kid. Funny going. So anyway, so these are my panelists. These are my experts. These are the guys who we're going to goof around this week. And let's just start with probably the big story of the week, which had to be the Republican reality show. I mean debate. Yeah. I mean the Republican debate. Now here, I'm going to give you really quick my take on debate and the candidates. First of all, if your only qualification to be president of the United States is you proved you're smarter than Donald Trump, that I'm not impressed, because that's what that debate was. That debate was, how can I trump Trump? You know, and they're saying that Carly Fiorina won. She had some good points, but she's a woman who hates women. That is fascinating to me, like her talking point. And what I say that when you get into things like Planned Parenthood and equal pay and things like that, that you think naturally as a woman, like if she becomes president, can we cut her pay? Can we literally say, congratulations, you are president, we are going to pay you 67% of what we paid the black guy? And that'll really piss her off. Marco Rubio sounds good, but Marco Rubio is a Cuban immigrant who's against immigration this week. Now, next week, he'll be for it. And then, he can't pick a place. But again, it just makes no sense. We have Ben Carson, the black Republican, because they can always find one. And Ben Carson, I don't understand Ben Carson, because I respect how intelligent he is and the fact that he's obviously a brilliant neurosurgeon. I don't know if you watched the debate. I didn't know what was with the eyes closing. I don't know if he blinks very slowly or if he not. But it was very strange, and I couldn't help but wondering, while you're operating on someone's brain, do you close your eyes for abnormally long periods? But anyway, the thing about Ben Carson is, and I will say it, because I hate how the media dances around it, he's not going to win because he's black. There's no way a black person is going to be the Republican candidate for president. Am I wrong?
You're not wrong.
Right. It's absolutely, but no one will say it. They won't just say, look, Ben, you're black. Why are you here?
Well, what they have done here is they've taken that one black guy you usually see in the audience at the Republican National Convention and put him on the stage for a chance.
They gave him the gig, yeah. And then we have Ted Cruz, who is so upset that Donald Trump's crazier than him. Because Ted's like, I'm the crazy guy. I get the crazy spot. And he's been out crazied. Jeb, just don't say my last name. That's Jeb said, just don't say my last name. Just call me Jeb. Don't say my last name. Jeb Bush said that George Bush kept America safe. He must have been out of the country on 9/11 2001, because he's the only one who didn't hear what happened. And of course, you know, I'm forgetting some, but so will you. Scott Walker and forget about them. And then, of course, you have Donald Trump, who is literally the star of the reality show. And Donald Trump is playing the media on this whole thing. Donald Trump has no intention to be president, never had any intention to be president. Donald Trump is doing this for publicity. It's working. We're saying his name every day. He's in the news all the time. Donald Trump, it's not only that he doesn't have a grasp of the issues. His answers are so funny to me. And this is my take. The genius of Donald Trump is say something so ridiculous that the press cannot ask a follow-up question. He was at the Iranian protest. When they protested the Iranian deal in Washington, D.C., he was there, and they asked him what he thought. And his answer was, when I'm president, America's going to win so much that Americans are going to get tired of winning. You hear that silence? That was the press. Because they were like, what the fuck did you... What? We just asked you about a specific American policy, and that was your answer. So anyway, so let's open it up. Talk to the guys. We talked about Ben Carson. I asked a brother about Ben Carson. If there was tomorrow, I don't even. When we get to the Muslim, we'll ask you about Barack Obama. You know, the Muslim president, right? No, what was your take on this? Did you watch it even?
Yeah, I watched a little bit, and it was upsetting. It was super upsetting. I mean, they're not voting for Trump's policies. They're voting for his celebrity. That's what's happening at the end of the day. And it's crazy. Look at the racism that's happening right now. The supremacists went from being white supremacists, and that became uncool. And then they said, okay, now we're white conservationists, and that didn't work. And now they're voting for Trump. The national white party, the white nationalists, have approved Trump as their guy.
Yeah, he's gotten approval from a few white supremacist groups. Yeah,
that's insane. If your values are supported by the biggest supremacist group in the country, there's a problem behind what you're preaching.
Yeah, but there's always in the Republican Party, there's always a wink and a nod toward racism.
Yeah.
There's always a veiled, thinly veiled thing. Sometimes it's point like if you're talking about Black Lives Matter. And by the way, did anyone else notice that race was never mentioned in the entire debate? Like with all that's going on in the United States between Black Lives Matter and Latino immigrants and Muslims being attacked for no reason and being arrested at school for inventing a clock, which we're going to talk about that. But no mention of that at all. But they love it. They give it a wink and a nod, and they're like, all right, we got the racist vote from those that can read. You know, because white supremacists are never a supreme example of white society. Okay, I'm just going to go ahead and say that.
I love that. These people, and I will refer to the Republican candidates as these people. to me, it's a perfect example of the identity crisis that the Republican Party is having. They have lived out their use. I think they've gotten so crazy that they have no identity anymore, and now they kind of have to go by the wayside. That's what I'm seeing. I'm wondering if that's going to happen in a bigger way, because it's like the environment in this country is such that more political parties are happening. That's always what happens in history. One political party becomes so crazy that they become irrelevant, and then a new one starts. Because the Republicans, you know, that was Lincoln's party, but now they've come all the way to this, and now Democrats are becoming more conservative slowly, and there'll be another party that comes.
Yeah, Democrats as a party are probably becoming a little more conservative. I won't say more conservative. I'll get to say more to the middle. I hate when Republicans play that Abe Lincoln was a Republican bullshit, right?
Because not the kind of Republican they are.
Exactly. The Republican Party, kind. The Republican and Democratic Party switched identities in the early 60s. That's when the Southern racist Democrats became Republicans and the Democratic Party became the more progressive. And the reason it bothers me when people say that is they know that. You know what I mean? It's not like they don't know. Now, I will say this regarding the Republicans and the Republican Party. I feel sorry for the intelligent, normal, businessman Republicans. Because I know I have one friend in particular. He's the what a Republican used to be. He's a white male. He owns a business. He's worried about his taxes and how much he has to pay his employees and getting sued in crazy lawsuits, you know. And it's like that's the kind of thing Republicans used to be. They were businessmen. And I understood that. It's like, look, I like money more than people. I respect that. I'm good with that. You know, but the guys like him, the members of the party, like they have no one to vote for.
Well, don't they aren't they becoming independents more and more?
No, they don't want to become independent. They want the Republican Party back. They want to take the Republican Party back from the Tea Party. And the one I forgot to mention when I was talking about crazy candidates, Mike Huckabee. But he was talking to Jesus at the time. It's Sunday, so he was busy. but anyway, that is the Republican. That's the Republican voice that's lost in all this noise. That I think that Republican exists out there. I think that's a person or a voter or that gets no, because you know he can't stand. I'll tell you this: he can't stand the Donald Trumps and the Ted Cruzes and the Mike Huckabees and you know the repeal health care and let's go after gays getting married. He don't care about gays getting married. He doesn't want to pay taxes. You know, that's his goal as a Republican. So he doesn't have a voice. I don't know if there's going to be a third party ever in the United States because we're so entrenched in the two-party system.
Exactly, but the fact that there are little fringe parties that are showing up more and more is an example of how discontent people are.
Absolutely.
They're trying, organically, people are kind of leaving the Republican Party and trying to form something different.
Absolutely.
Because the person that you're talking about, Alonzo, is being drowned out by the crazies.
Yeah.
And they can't get heard because people are trying to fan the hatred to get the votes.
Tamara, what do you think?
Yeah, absolutely. Makes perfect sense to me. And then the craziest thing that I've heard recently is about Donald Trump talking about himself like he's an outsider. I'm like, you're a billionaire white guy? You're not an outsider. Hillary's the outsider. She's a woman in politics. We've never had one of those as a president. You know what I mean? So it's just crazy how he's positioning himself as the underdog.
Well, Hillary can't be an outsider only because she's a Clinton. Like if
she's a brand name now.
If you're a Clinton, that carries so much baggage with it, you know, that name that you can't say. And she's not an outsider. But here's the thing about that outsider. I don't want the president to be an outsider.
Yeah.
I don't want the president to be someone, I never been involved in politics. Yeah. We have a problem with that. We have a problem with intelligence. You know, one of the knocks against Barack Obama, oh, he's an intellectual. Yeah. Yeah, that's what I want. I want the president to be so much smarter than me that he can't talk to me. I want him to be like, listen, I can't explain this to your dumb ass. I'm operating 5 levels above you. Hire somebody to explain. Like, that's what we want, isn't it? You want a president to be smart and to be respected and considered a smart person. I don't want an outsider who's never done it. But there's certain jobs you don't want someone who's never done this before. You don't want to be in a hospital and be like, first surgery? First time? Never done this before?
And yeah, I didn't
what
go
the
to
hell?
School for it.
You're an outsider? You're not a doctor? You're just walking by? That's my kind of surgeon. So, I don't want that outsider label. Not completely. I mean, obviously, and here's the other thing. I mean, the money comes from the same places. Like, when you talk about a third party, and this is what I love about having you guys on here, because you guys are younger than me. You're from another generation, and you still have hope, and I'm here to crush it. It's all about the money. It's all about the money. Supposedly, Hillary Clinton has a $1 billion war chest waiting for this camp, you know, for this election. So when you talk about a third party, do they come in? Do they have enough money to get their message across? Even a guy like Bernie Sanders, when it comes down to it, will Bernie be able to play with the big boys? I don't think so.
No, I agree with you on that. Yeah. But there are people who are trying to be heard, but they don't have the money for it. Yeah. So, but it's happening.
Yeah, it's happening.
It's happening.
Twitter followers ain't going to get you elected.
Yet. Pretty soon we'll be able to vote from Twitter.
Yeah.
Hashtag that person.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
And that'll count as an actual vote. I think that if it's I have a weird theory that I was telling a friend the other day, because Clinton is it's a brand name, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Because we've gone back to this weird, you know, dynastic system of kind of like, it's Bush's, it's Clinton's. But I think that if Hillary is the president, she'll be a 2-term president. And if it's not her, whoever's the next president will be a 1-term president. And we'll see somebody we forget, like Taft.
Yeah, that's interesting. I think it's Hillary's to lose. But I also have confidence in the Democrats losing from the front. Nobody can screw up a sure thing like the Democratic Party. And all they need to do to lose the next election is have Joe Biden enter. And then you have the division between Joe Biden and Hillary Clinton, and then Barack Obama has to pick which one to support, and everyone's going to be mad at him for supporting one, and blah, 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 divides the party, and they lose. And that is Democratic strategy, because there are Democrats right now sitting around thinking, how can we fuck this up? How can we fuck this up? We got this, right?
Yeah.
Because I don't know if you guys remember, but Al Gore had it. Al Gore, a year before the election, it was like Al Gore he could have just walked into the White House. You know what I mean? And the Democrats were like, I know what we should do. Let's separate Al Gore from Bill Clinton, because everyone loves Bill Clinton. That's a good strategy, and obviously it didn't work. So
I think Trump's the best thing that happened for the Democratic Party, to be honest. I mean, we had 2 terms of Democratic wins. People aren't as motivated as the Republicans are. Then we get this Looney Tune that comes across, the most successful racist in America, right? Most successful skinhead with a red toupee. Now I'm more motivated to vote now than any other time in history, thanks to Trump.
Well, I can't say it's the most motivated I've ever been. I'm going to go ahead and tell you, in 2008, I was all for it.
I'm an immigrant, so I'm really motivated. I want my family to stay here.
All right. Well, on the topic of Trump and celebrity and politics, NBC has replaced Donald Trump with Arnold Schwarzenegger on Celebrity Apprentice. Like, if there's anything that just proves our does that mean that we're fucked up with the culture of celebrity, or are we fucked up in our politics, or are both so fucked up they somehow managed to merge to the second level of fucked up? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The third one.
For Arnold, because I couldn't stand when Arnold was governor, okay?
he was a bad governor. Yeah. He won because of a celebrity name. He had no, you talk about an outsider, he had no idea what he was doing. And he literally wrote, he wrote an op-ed after his first term about how hard it was to be governor. And I'm like, really, Arnold? Running California is hard? At what point did you think it would be easy to run the seventh largest economy in the world? Did you really think you were going to go up there and say, I'll be back, and the legislature was going to say, oh, well, we'll do what you say, you know? So... So now he's on Celebrity Apprentice. Thoughts?
Crazy. What do they call? They call him a four-quadrant celebrity. That families love him, singles love him, old people, young people, they all love him. But I, for the life of me, I don't understand why. I don't understand it. But it is. It's all celebrity. Even Trump's campaign. What's it called? Make America Great Again? Guess who that was recycled from? Ronald Reagan.
Yeah.
It's all celebrity. It's the celebrity pool that they're digging out of.
And Ronald Reagan was an actor.
Absolutely.
And was also the governor of California. I think that this...
And a saint, don't forget.
Oh, yes. I'm sorry. Thank you.
He was a good husband, though.
I think it... I mean, it'll work. I haven't looked at this show. I forgot it was on. So I was like, oh, yeah, that's a thing still. But it'll work for it.
Yeah,
that's as much opinion as I have about it.
I mean, they had to fire Trump when he said that all Mexicans were rapists and, you know, all of that nonsense. So they but to put Arnold in that job, for one thing, Arnold's never run a company. See, that's one thing people, when people talk about Arnold as a businessman, Arnold's an actor. And when you're an actor, you become a corporation, right, so that you get paid. And you have a bunch of people who work for you, but they work for you because you're an actor. It's not like you're running a corporation. It's not like you have, you know, 15 Starbucks and you run that. Or you know what I mean? Like, you're talking
about a different kind of business.
You can't lose as an actor. You know why? Because Sony Studios or Universal or whatever pays your company $20 million, like, up front. Like, here's $20 million. Now act. Okay? And then you got all these people who work for you. And you know, it's like, what are we on, the ninth Terminator movie? Or so, like, how old is the Terminator now? At this point, the Terminator is old enough to invent himself. Like, he's so old now that he is, like, the original one came back. Like, that could be him again. You know what I mean?
Which, by the way, in that last Terminator movie, that is kind of the story.
You saw that?
Oh, yeah. Come on. I wanted to see that.
I just lost a bit of respect for you, Baron.
But there's some time-traveling Terminators. An old Terminator waiting for a young Terminator. Spoiler alert.
Yeah, and now we have a former apprentice waiting for a new apprentice.
But isn't the point supposed to be that he, quote-unquote, ran California, which is in itself
a
business?
No, he didn't.
No, I know.
Does anybody think that he made the decisions? Anybody in this audience think he made the decisions when he was governor? Look how quiet it is. Yeah. No, he was a figurehead, and they actually got mad at him because he tried to make some of his own decisions, you know, about things like the environment. And because his wife is more of an environment, and the businessmen who propped him up, they were like, what the hell is wrong with you? Yeah. You don't make decisions. You do as you're told. You know. So
he was like Pinocchio going, I'm a real boy.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Okay. So, all right. So we'll see how he does on the Celebrity Apprentice. I wish I was a bigger celebrity so I could get on there and just say, man, you full of shit, and then just get kicked off. You fucked up California. I like California, you dumb son of a bitch. And
all of that will be on
a
T-shirt.
I'd be kicked off, but yeah, but I'd get some publicity out of it.
That would be the new catchphrase for the show. A lot of words, though.
Man, you full of shit. That's a pretty good catchphrase.
Yeah.
That might be the new catchphrase for my podcast, Who's Paying Attention? Subtitle, man, you full of shit. I could just say that, like, after I introduce every story, right? Like Arnold Schwarzenegger replaces Donald Trump on Celebrity Apprentice. Man, you full of shit.
It is appropriate.
I might have to work with that. Might have to see where that can go. All right, here we're going to go to, I'm going to go in a completely different direction. I'm going to get away from politics, and forgive me for talking too much, but I'm just trying to lead into this stories. I don't know how many of you are aware of this one. Steve Ranazzisi and the lies about 9/11. For those who don't know what I'm talking about, Steve is a comic, and he's on that show,
The League.
The League on FX, and he did a lot of ads for Buffalo Wild Wings, et cetera, et cetera. Well, when he moved to L.A. from New York, he had a story that he was in the Twin Towers during 9/11, that he worked for Merrill Lynch, and that he, you know, barely got out alive, and that he got home, and he thought his wife, who worked in the building too, was dead because he didn't hear from his wife, and then she turned out she was trapped in the subway, and you know, it was one of those 9/11 stories. It was a 9/11 story. It was a great story with a happy ending, and blah 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 blah, and the whole thing was a lie. The whole thing was fabricated. Like, Merrill Lynch didn't even have offices in the Twin Towers. He wasn't there. His wife wasn't there. I have no idea what his motivation was for telling this lie, for creating this story. I don't know how he got his wife to go along with this story. But since then, of course, Buffalo Wild Wings has dropped him, and Comedy Central is not airing the special that was...
They decided not to air it?
Yeah, as I understand. I don't think they aired it. But they did or they didn't? They did air it.
Yeah, they were trying to decide.
Okay, so they did air it. But anyway, so what do you think? Now, here's a thing that's interesting to me. Like, when politicians lie, it's like, well, that's expected. But when comics lie, I'm a bit offended.
Isn't that crazy?
We're better than that.
Yeah. That's the craziest part. That's how can politicians be more forgiven than comedians? That's wacky. I'm split, to be honest. There's the one side of me that looks at him and goes, wait, you're kind of diluting the experience of the people that were actually there, and in a way trying to gain business, you know, for a business kind of
notoriety, at least
notoriety out of it, and that part bugs me. But then there's the other side where I look at him as a comic and I go, was he talking to a girl at a bar when he was saying this? You know, was he lying as a way to get in somebody's pants? Like, I don't know the context of how he said. I like the fact that he apologized. I like the fact that he did do that, and he came out and he was honest and said it was a huge mistake. And I think that's great that he did that. And I don't know that he should be completely...
Well, no, his context, this was his story. This was his...
That was like his thing.
When I joked about you being international and, you know, having to go overseas. We talked before the show about you having to go overseas to find work. And this was his backstory. I'm here from New York. This is what happened to me. Like, you know, you have to give a bio in this business. Yeah. This was his story.
Yeah.
So it wasn't, and plus, when you're trying to pick up a woman in a bar, you don't tell her how your wife survived.
Sure.
Like, that line never works.
Fair enough, yeah.
You know, because Ashley Madison, that went out of business, so you can't use that. But
it's just crazy to do in this day and age. You know, it's like making prank calls when everybody has caller ID. Like, it's a crazy thing to do.
Everything is on Google.
Everything.
But it's also like, so my question is, was he telling this at parties, you know, just in a casual context, or was he telling this in meetings?
I think it started at a party.
A lie got out of control in some crazy way that he kept finessing. Oh.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh, that's right.
Right. No, this was his story. This was his story.
But Maron already knew about it. He had heard about it before.
Right, this was his story, but his, and it's funny. Someone, you can't hear this on the mic. Someone just called him the comedic Brian Williams, and I'm gonna mention that because I have a thing I can relate about the Brian Williams story that makes it why it's so ridiculous what he did. But the thing is, what is the motivation? In other words, like, this is my backstory. If you ask me, I used to be an airplane mechanic. Okay, I worked on aircraft. And then I was training new mechanics to build airplanes, and I had fun making them laugh, and I took a comedy writing class, and I started doing stand-up. Like, that's my story, okay? Now, I wasn't in the war, you know what I mean? Like, I didn't, you know, like, I'm not adding to the story, I'm not making up. So my question is, what's your motivation to take something like 9/11, which it really is an insult, to me, in my opinion, to the families of people who were lost, to the first responders, to the people who were really involved in that, to just decide, like, I'm going to make up a story as if I'm involved. I find that insulting to those people. But I can't imagine what the motivation was.
It's an inflated sense of self-importance, wanting to be associated with the gigantic event that everybody recognizes. I mean... There's that woman that was the head of a group, you know, of survivors, who was just totally lying the entire time.
Yeah.
And it's just like the only reason to do that is to belong, is to feel like you're part of something and get recognition for that.
Yeah.
It doesn't, I'm not saying it justifies it, I'm just saying that this somehow becomes the justification for this. It's a defect in some sort of way.
I can't help, but it almost reminds me of somebody putting on a soldier's uniform that was never a soldier.
Right.
It offends me. It offends me because it feels like he's trying to gain something from it. I don't know what it is, and I know...
Recognition.
Exactly.
Now, I don't know him, and I don't really know his... So I don't know if he ever worked as a stand-up or if he's an actor, because a lot of times in news and media, they call someone a comedian, but they're not. They're an actor. They didn't. I consider you a comedian if you do stand-up. That's a comedian.
He does stand-up.
Otherwise, you're a comic.
He was a regular at all the clubs here.
But here's the thing I don't get. Actors, okay, actors make up stories. Comics tell the truth. Stand-ups tell the truth. That's part of the job. You embellish it. You color it. You make something out of it. But I've never known a stand-up comic that I would say, oh, yeah, that guy's a liar. Bullshitter, yeah. Bullshitter's okay. But it just seems to me, and maybe I'm wrong here, maybe I'm too much of a purist or something like that, but it just, like, I can't imagine a comic just telling a lie like that.
I feel like I know some, and we'll have stories about them to talk about in the future.
And there are lies, but could there be a bigger one?
Yeah.
You know, of all the lies to make... That one is like, God.
This is me saying I played in the Super Bowl because I'm a big black guy. No, see, I had a helmet on. You didn't see my face. You didn't see my face, but I was in Super Bowl 32. Now, quickly, the Brian Williams reference, I will tell you what I think about that and why I don't understand why Brian Williams did it. And I don't know if you guys – have you guys done military shows?
Yeah.
No.
Okay, you've done military shows. Have you done the active ones, been in Iraq and stuff like that?
Yeah, FOBs in Afghanistan.
Okay, so you know, yeah, when you, FOBs are forward operating bases. Those are the – like you see the USO shows on TV when there's 10,000 people. The FOB is when you go out to a base where there's 30 people and you do a show for 25 of them in the mess hall. You know, that's the kind of – and I've done those too. So – They transport you by Black Hawk helicopter. Okay, that's how they get you there. When Black Hawks fly, there are always two. There's one slightly behind and above the other one. As one lands, the other one circles in the air around it. And these guys got full. You're in full tactical gear. You have a flak jacket and a helmet. He has his machine gun out of the side of the helicopter. In other words, this is a badass military operation. Yeah. Like, you feel like, yeah, this is the shit. So I don't understand why Brian Williams had to make that better. You know what I mean? Like it is badass enough. You didn't have to say, oh, we were shot down. Like, no, man, I flew in a Black Hawk and went to a base with another Black Hawk circling. I had a helmet. Like, I have pictures of it, and they're on my website, on alonzoboden.com or on my Facebook page, where, no, well, you can see, like, I looked like I was a badass. You know, I had the shit on, and I'm, like, flexing, and I'm like, yeah, I'm ready to kill somebody. No, there's no bullets in this gun. They gave it to me. But otherwise, I'm ready to go. I don't understand why Brian Williams did that. Maybe he wanted to work at MSNBC. Maybe he was like... I wanna just cut down to the B team. I've had enough of this NBC anchor thing. What kind of bullshit story can I make up? So, I don't know about Steve. And one of the things that struck me as interesting was another comic posted on their Facebook page. They said, you know, I'm a friend of Steve's, and before you judge him, haven't you ever made a mistake? And I'm like, not like that. I never accidentally said I was involved in 9/11.
Yeah.
Just saying. So I don't know. I have a problem with that one. But maybe he's going to be another Republican candidate. He is right now qualified. He is, because if you watch the debate, the two things that were amazing to me, I'm always amazed that the moderator doesn't just raise their hand and say, oh, excuse me, you're lying.
Yeah.
Apparently, according to the Republican debate, all Republicans were against the Iraq War. Did you notice that? Every one of them said, oh, no, I was against the war. And then they started calling Justice John Roberts a liberal.
Yeah.
That was fascinating. Like, John Roberts is a liberal? Does he know? Somebody needs to get him. Matt. Oh, you actually have breaking news? Come on up here.
Matt Kirshen, everybody.
Matt Kirshen. Live from the UK has just handed me a note. There's actual breaking news. It's based in the UK.
Well, I just thought you'd want to. I just told some friends, and they were like, Alonzo's doing a show right now, and I know you're a news hound, and you're all about current affairs and everything, and you might want. So I had to do some running through it was quite hard to separate the hashtag from and actually find the real news story because there's a lot of jokes going around. But it does appear that at some point in his youth, David Cameron, the current Prime Minister of Britain, according to a new biography that's just come out, at some point in his youth, placed his penis in the mouth of a dead pig. So I just thought you might want to know that fact. Hashtag Piggate. That is a real thing. I know that's the thing that happened. So there we go. I just thought I'd leave that with you.
I just want you guys to know that the Who's Paying Attention the Who's Paying Attention podcast pays its reporters nothing. And yet they come in with breaking. Matt Kirshen, you are. I wish we had another mic. You are phenomenal. Can you sit here? Can you, Tamara? Can you move over? Because I got to tell everybody, Matt Kirshen is one of my favorite comics. I met Matt when I was a judge for Last Comic Standing. He was trying out in London in the UK and. Matt has that great British accent. He sounds great. He's really a little smartass, and he's usually insulting you, but he sounds so good doing it. You're like, wait a minute, that was charming. So thank you for... Now, the great thing is, this might be a scandal in the UK. In the Republican debate, that would just qualify him. Yeah. That in the Republican Party, they'd be like, wait a minute, you stuck your penis in a pig's mouth?
Yeah.
Was it a Texas pig? Because in Texas, I think that's okay.
Yeah, I don't want to be sticking a penis in some foreign pig, like a Muslim pig.
Yeah. That. And if you found a Muslim pig, wow. That's like finding a black Republican. Oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute. We do have one of those.
It sounds like something Trump would have said about another candidate, but the pig was Rosie O'Donnell. Like
that, yeah.
That's
yeah.
the most Trump-sounding story.
Yeah, you're going to get some feedback on that.
I didn't say it. Trump said it.
No, you just said it. Says. Wow. All right. Well, perfect lead-in. Perfect lead-in. And Matt, again, thank you for joining the podcast.
Thank you for having me, Alonzo.
Thanks for bringing us breaking news.
Apparently, breaking I didn't know you could do that in podcastery.
Nor did I.
You could just walk up.
But credit for that, by the way, goes to Troy Conrad, who was one of the people I told the story, and he was the one who went, Troy Conrad, very funny comedian,
wait a
creator.
Are you
set
sure
list.
This is true, or did Troy just... Is this a set list? Is this a set list topic? This is a set list joke.
It does appear to have been re-reported by some reputable organization. I don't know whether David Cameron has commented yet. I don't know whether it's been verified or in any way negated, but it seems to be... A lot of people are very much insistent that this is a thing.
No, I believe you. Now, to those listening, to those who are here and to the people listening to the podcast, when we say, is it a set list topic? Set list, you have to look this up online. You have to see it if you have any chance to see it live. It's comedy without a net. It's Paul Provenza, Troy Conrad, Matt. You work with it a lot on the production.
I helped them take it over to the UK initially, so I've helped.
And
them.
What they do is they just flash a topic on the screen behind you as a comic, and you have to do it like it's part of your set. And then they come up with topics, and you know, Prime Minister penis in a pig mouth.
Like very,
that would be a topic.
Would absolutely put that on screen and say, "Go to work."
Because people hear it and they're like, "Oh, they put up things like family and relationships," and they're like, "No, no, no, pig mouth fuck party is very likely." Oh, more information. We
all
have
right,
more breaking news
verifiable
from the audience.
There it is.
And a man who trusted you with his phone.
Yes,
it was a kosher pig.
All right, it was one of those kosher good. Muslim pigs. You know what's amazing about that? Somewhere there's a Catholic priest saying, that's a sin. All right. So anyway, we're on the topic of Muslims. Let's talk about the Texas story, okay? Let's talk about Ahmed Muhammad. I think we all know about this 14-year-old kid in Texas invented a clock. Like, he built a clock, which, first of all, the idea that a kid knows what a clock is ridiculous to me. Because it's not like any of them are looking at watches or anything. They look at their phone and as did. But anyway, he invented a clock and he went to school and the clock went off and it was in Texas and he's Muslim. So obviously it was a bomb. And he was arrested. He was handcuffed and walked out of the school and it took off. Probably the most famous tweet was from President Obama I'll quote the tweet. Cool clock, Ahmed. Want to bring it to the White House? We should inspire more kids like you to like science. It's what makes America great. Of course, when Obama said, do you want to bring it to the White House, a lot of people in Texas were really hoping it was a bomb, but no. So, and obviously since then, Mark Zuckerberg from Facebook, and this kid has gotten scholarship offers, and he's touring MIT and some brilliant engineering schools and so on, and it's really great. But behind the story is how many other kids like that. Like, if he didn't get the fame, if he didn't get the notoriety, this would have been a Muslim kid arrested in Texas, and he could have been a black kid, and he could have been a Latino kid. He could have been anything but a white kid, and he'd have been arrested, and he'd have it on his record some crazy suspected terrorism thing that would follow him for the rest of his life. And how horrible is that? And why is it, and we were talking about this before the show, why, whenever we get a crazy-ass story, it comes from the South.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, I've worked in the South. There are great people in the South, but this is some Texas shit. Okay, so what do you think, guys?
Well, it's we know it's not a bomb, but do we know for sure that he wasn't planning to set that clock to the wrong time to make Christians late?
Ah, subtle. Yeah. That's it.
She wasn't threatened by the clock. She was threatened by the name tag. Like, name Ahmed Muhammad is what terrified her. Like, I've got a Muslim dad and a Jewish mom, so I've been threatening people since my birth. You know what I mean? Like, everything, they kept checking my diaper everywhere I went. Like, it's crazy. It's insane that they would take this kid and look at him and say, wow, here's a kid. Here's the thing, too. Like, she's a teacher. Her job is to know her students. Here's a kid who's never been disciplined for anything. He works his ass off. There's an engineering class in the school. So it's like, talk about like insanity. Like, to accuse him of making a bomb in a class that's about engineering is insane.
Yeah, it is. And yet, if you have that belief that every Muslim is part of a terrorist cell, that's like the perfect deep cover story, the kid who's never been in trouble in his whole life. And the other thing that I find interesting about it, and really funny, and it really has to do with what immigrant background you're from. Yeah. We talk about this. If he was Asian, this would be considered normal. Like, Asian kids are expected to be smarter, right? Mm-hmm. We all joke about that. Yeah. Like, they, you know, we do Asian math jokes, right? They ruin the curve in math class and stuff like that. What do you think, Baron? What do you think of our clockmaker?
I mean, I think it's pretty incredible, especially the fact that a lot of people are kind of, you know, backing the kid, and he's clearly ingenious. I have no idea what a clock is myself, and I'm in my 30s.
I understand.
But, yeah, I mean, you're absolutely right. I mean, it's just people going a little crazy with their preconceptions or prejudging people, also known as prejudice. What, Matt, you're going to say something?
I was going to say, here's my second worry, that when you talk about prejudging and preconceptions, I'm a little worried for that kid that it's going to flip over the other way around, in that, okay, we know the story was bullshit. This is some slightly nerdy, quiet kid who made a thing and he wanted to show his teachers, and because it looked a little bit like a bomb and because he has a very, like, a very Muslim name, then they all kind of crazy overreact and he ends up in this thing where it's bullshit. But now it's gone the other way, where, like, MIT and Facebook and all these huge tech organizations and schools are kind of going like, well, this kid's going to be a genius. We're going to give him all these scholarships. And now there's probably intense pressure on this kid who might well not be a genius. He might be just a slightly above average nerdy kid who likes building stuff. I mean, like, he built a clock, not like a power plant or anything. Like, it's not like he didn't make the next Apple. He made a clock. And Matt, I just know what happens to kids. You know when there are, like, child prodigies who get pushed into university when they're 16, and by 23, they're just fucked.
Yeah, Matt, but, do you know how to make a clock?
How to make a bomb.
Show some respect. The kid knows how to make a damn clock. That's an engineering genius right there.
I just think, like, there are lots of cases where kids who are these child prodigies, and then they're kind of fucked by the
20s. Well, I understand what you're saying. He may not live up to being a genius, but this is the crazy thing, especially about this being in Texas. And Baron just showed me a story saying, go ahead.
The story here says that the Texas police arrested him knowing he didn't have a bomb. That they
suspended him as well.
Yeah, they didn't call the police. Now. They didn't call the bomb squad. People didn't get far away from him, but they just kind of took him to the principal's office, waited for the police, put him in the police car, put the clock in the police car. And they were like, oh, yeah, they just arrested him, but they didn't do anything that you would do apparently, if you thought someone actually had a bomb.
So schools are now like airport security rules. Where you can't even.
Schools in Texas.
Yeah. That's but he was randomly screened. That's basically what was happening.
That's my issue with Texas. We're called the United States of America. They have a flag with one star and it's the Lone Star State. What do you not understand about United? We don't have a racism problem. We have an isolation problem.
What you don't understand is that is the Republic of Texas waiting to go independent again.
I do understand.
You know,
it
that's the thing. But here's the other thing. Here's the other thing about this kid and it being Texas. How many pictures do we have of open carry Texas? If he had been a white kid carrying an AK to Chipotle, that'd be just good American.
Yeah.
That good American son of a bitch got gun ready for that Muhammad pull out his clock.
And
you know, there's pictures, but there are pictures of kids the same age in Texas carrying
assault rifles,
semi-automatic weapons, and it's fine.
Coming into the drive-thru at McDonald's.
Absolutely fine.
It's a 12th birthday
present. We're batshit crazy, my point, as a nation.
I don't know if you saw this. I don't know whether it was in Texas or it was in one of the states that has open carry laws, and two people did this filmed experiment, and the second half of this, the person who did it is, I'm going to say, one of the bravest and dumbest human beings alive. But they did a thing where first a white guy walked down the street past some cops with a massive assault rifle. You saw it, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then a black guy did it, and this is going to shock you. You might want to be still. Make sure you're seated comfortably here. But the reaction that the police had to those two different individuals wasn't identical. I know. No, you don't say.
It's a scene out of Idiocracy. I mean, next they're going to start watering their plants with Gatorade down there. Like it's really a scene out of Idiocracy.
And again, the thing about that is, and we talk about it, and I hate painting the South with that broad brush because there are great places in Texas. Austin, Texas is a great city. Mm-hmm. Austin, Texas is a great city. North Dallas is great. And obviously, there are some good people and smart people, very frustrated people. But this is the public image that they have. Just like California for a long time had the image of, you know, the hippies and the fruits and the nuts and whatever else they called us. But I don't even know. This is beyond image, though, because now when you get into the police being involved, and we're not even going to go into the whole Black Lives Matter movement and stuff like that, because I try to limit my podcast to a half hour. This one we're doing an hour because we have guests and we're talking. But if we get into the entire racist thing in America, we could be here till tomorrow. You know, so it is obviously it's a horrible thing. In some ways, it's a funny thing. When he did his press conference, he was humble about it. But how funny would it if he, yeah, bitches, like that would have been great. Or just stand there. See, I would have liked him to stand there next to Flavor Flav. Because when you talk about a clock, Flavor Flav will walk in and say, this kid just telling you what time it is, boy. That would have been the most fantastic press conference.
Amazing.
Right, and all kidding aside, I mean, that's what Flavor Flav and Public Enemy were about, showing you what time it is. That's what this kid did. He showed you what time it is. He showed you that, yeah, I'm an American. I'm a smart American kid. Get over my name. Get over my brown skin. The United States of America, we're falling behind in so many ways on the international scale. Yeah. We should celebrate the fact that this kid invented something that no one uses anymore. That he actually found a way to use modern technology to invent a clock, and then he explained to the class what a clock is. But all jokes aside, it's the worst thing. Like, that's the worst thing we could do is to. Now it's interesting in talking about immigrants. I'm going to move to another story. But the thing I love about you, Matt, is when they see you, they think that's good white American.
Then
you start talking, and they're like, ooh, wait a minute. Right? Does the accent throw them?
It definitely does. But here's what also throws. I was talking about this yesterday with a someone who's known me for years found out yesterday I was Jewish. And I think it's just because Americans can't. You don't really register more than one stereotype. Like,
Jewish,
I'm the English
British
guy. Yeah. I can't also be the Jewish guy.
I'm a Muslim guy who's also a Jewish guy.
Yeah.
I've watched racist
and lives in England.
And lived in England.
You two should leave now. There's just too much shit. And we're black. And we're like right now, if they were going to start shooting, they'd literally start with those two. How great. Oh, they'd get to us. Don't worry.
Yeah. I'd be but first because I'm darker.
Minute. We got a British Jew and a Muslim Jew. Oh, we got to take them out. Oh, we're going to get to the black people. But we know them.
We're a given.
Yeah, yeah, we're good ones.
We can find them later.
Unbelievable. All right, let's move on. Let's move on to our fantastic. Wait, I have to do this. I'm sorry. I've been sitting here. Nobody reminded me to talk about Audible.com, our sponsor.
Woo-hoo.
Yeah, yeah. Audible.com, and they gave me the script somewhere. Oh, here it is. Okay, Audible is offering our listeners a free audiobook of your choice and a free 30-day trial membership. Just go to audiblepodcast.com/Alonzo and choose from over 180,000 audio programs. So it's free, okay? You just go to audiblepodcast.com/Alonzo and look up a book. And they wanted me to find an example of a book, and I found a great one. The book is called Dog Whistle Politics by Ian Haney Lopez. There's another one of those that they're not sure why they kill him. When your name is Ian Lopez, they're like, I'm not sure what that is, but it don't belong here in America. His book is called Dog Whistle Politics, How Coded Racial Appeals Have Reinvented Racism and Wrecked the Middle Class. And this goes back, Tamara, a lot to what you were talking about. But he goes back to the days of Ronald Reagan. We mentioned Reagan earlier, back when they used to talk about welfare queens.
The welfare queen.
And so it was a coded thing for black people who are living free, paid for by white people. You know, and that it started back then, and they still do it now. We know all the codes, you know, urban, inner city, or immigrant.
Talented.
You know, whenever they say whenever they say illegal immigrant, they're saying Mexican. That's what they're saying. And we know all the codes. So he wrote a book about it. And it has wrecked the middle class because it's divided the middle class in that a lot of middle class white people vote for things that are against their best interest. Wages, medical benefits, tax. They voted to lower taxes on the rich, et cetera, because they've been afraid of racism. And this has been a political. So anyway, so that's just one thing you can find on audiobooks. The other great thing is, and everyone knows this, when I always tell you the book was better than the movie, see, now you can still avoid reading by listening to the book and finding out if it's better than the movie. Just do whatever you can to avoid actually reading. Okay, so audiobook.com. I'm sorry, I'm saying it wrong. Audible.com is our sponsor. Thanks for correcting me. There's a siren. They done heard you two were here.
I don't know if it's been picked up in the mics, but definitely like more than one siren as well. There's like people are urgent.
Okay, so, and once again, the South. It's Dadeville, Alabama, city councilor Frank Goodman told the Daily Beast, that's where I got this story from, but he'll tell you too, that he issued an ordinance to prohibit busting slack. Basically, he's saying God told him to ban saggy pants. That's right.
He calls it busting slack?
Busting slack. He said God told him. He said he prayed. He prayed about it. And God said, I'm looking for the quote. Here it is. He said, I prayed and asked God to show me what I should do and the way I should go about it. What would God do? Did God go around doing this, meaning wearing saggy pants? He would show the saggy pants, and this is what God showed him. This is what he said. He would show me, meaning God. He would show me this saggy pant. It's one of the things he did not do. It is not in his orders to do to gain eternal life. Well, there you go. Well, there you go. I'm not even going to ask you guys to comment on that because that came from the top. Eternal life does not wear saggy pants.
That's a hell of an endorsement.
I do have one theological issue, and that is, if God is omnipresent, that means that any pair of saggy pants in existence does have God in them. So
see, that's
God
why
is...
we can't have a Jewish guy on the panel. Because you would say something like that.
But conversely, because he is omnipresent and therefore filling up all space, those pants will no longer be saggy. So he's wearing saggy pants, but he's de-sagging them. So I don't know whether I agree with this guy or not.
Well, I'm taking a step further, see, because now you don't know if you agree, but he explained.
Oh, cool. Thanks.
All right. Goodman explained how drooping denim is disrespectful, a bad example to children, and bars the wearer from gainful employment. He told his colleagues, I prayed about this. I know God would not go around with his pants down. Mostly because like, they didn't wear pants back when exactly. Jesus was walking around. They wore, what do they call that?
Adult diapers?
Robes.
They had the robes and they had like shawls and stuff, you know. So they, who knows? Jesus might have been sagging under his robe. We don't know. But maybe they hadn't invented belts.
But this is also Alabama, where I feel like it's more coded language, and who is it that would be wearing saggy pants?
I say white businessman.
Yes.
Yeah.
Clearly.
It's great. I have a crucifix in my house, and the only people I know that dress just like Jesus are babies in diapers. Because he was wearing like a lower body diaper. That's what God wore.
I don't know if we covered this earlier, but why do you, half Jewish, half Muslim, have a crucifix in it? Do you just want the set?
We have all three major religions are in my family.
Your house is Jerusalem.
Yeah, it is, yeah.
Especially your house is divided into three sections.
Love one.
Okay, well, it's not just saggy pants, just so you should know. A nurse who's also been on the council for a year, Ms. Kelly, she says if they're going to point at the guys, they should point at the girls, too. When you got on short shorts or a short skirt, leaving nothing to imagination, it's like you're advertising. And?
They sound pro-burka. Yeah. That sounds pro-burka to me.
Isn't it funny? Mm. It's so great you said that, because isn't it funny how much religious extremists have in common, regardless of the religion?
Exactly.
And covering up the women is always a big thing with them. You know, unfortunately, abusing the women is also quite often a big thing. But but that's a big thing. But so apparently, I don't know if Jesus is big on. I think Jesus would be okay with short skirts.
Probably sagging pants, too.
I think Jesus would be like, damn. You know what I'm saying? Like, you take Jesus to Miami. And Jesus would be like, yo, man, I'm glad we invented this.
Yeah.
You know, created.
I walk on water, but those float.
Yeah, exactly.
there's a guy in Hollywood that dresses just like Jesus every day. I think his name is Kevin, and I think they'd take issue with him, too.
Hollywood Jesus. I've seen him. I've taken pictures with him. If you have not seen him, He when you say he looks like Jesus, he looks like the depiction of Jesus.
Yeah,
okay,
correct.
Because Jesus is the only white guy in the Middle Eastern desert. You know
absolutely,
what I mean?
Like, absolutely.
Yeah, I'd say out of us, like, and you look like Jesus.
He's the only guy who couldn't tan, I guess. But but he has this guy in Hollywood Jesus. They call him. He has long brown hair. He has the beard and the mustache, and then he wears the robes and he walks around with a staff, with a long stick, and. My question is, what happened the day before you decided you were going to be Hollywood Jesus? That's what I want to know. What happened the day where you say, you know what? Fuck it. I'm going with Jesus. From now on, I'm just going to be Jesus, and I'm going to walk around looking for a flock. I that's what I want to know.
I got no love with Ganesh. I got no love with...
Right. He's a nice guy. He's a nice guy.
He's
you
nice
talk
guy.
To him, and he's not insane or anything. It's not like he's some crazy homeless guy. No, this is just his thing.
Does he drink?
And he likes girls in short skirts.
He probably drinks wine because...
Red wine.
Initially water.
You know?
I would think that he just wanted to get a bunch of free drinks.
Now... this town, and let me get the name of this town again, so if you're driving through Alabama,
Dadeville.
You know to avoid it. It's called Dadeville. Now, some of the residents weren't too happy. One woman wrote on the local paper's Facebook page, this is getting some national coverage and not in a good way. It's a good thing our city council is such a big joke because a lot of people around the country sure are laughing. In other words, this is the intelligent person, just like I was talking about at the beginning, the businessman Republican. This is the intelligent member of Dadeville is like, do you have to make us look stupid on a national level? Because how long before Lil Wayne is throwing a concert in the park in Dadeville and everybody's pants are sagging? You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, this is a magnet for saggy pants.
Absolutely.
For me, this is one of the real values of social media and the internet. People talk about how the internet kind of can make people feel isolated because they don't engage with the world. And I'm like, bullshit. This can make This can make people who were feeling really isolated. Imagine this 25 years ago. This would be a local story, and like five people would be marginalized in this town and be persecuted by this shitty man. Yeah. And now goes national. They get ridiculed internationally, and then this moron has to back down from his bigotry.
Yeah, before it would just be the plot to Footloose.
Yeah. But imagine Footloose now. I mean, I know they did make a remake, but imagine if Footloose was actually tried properly now in the era of social media. It'd be like, all right, this would blow up online. Like the Daily Show would do a report on it. They'd look like dicks, and they'd eventually have to go, maybe we'll drop the dancing thing.
Yeah. Well, just so you know that they're not the only ones in Louisiana. Is that the southern state? Just checking.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, I thought
absolutely.
So.
Right next to Texas. Right next to it.
In Jefferson Davis Parish in Louisiana, they passed a similar ordinance, $50 first-time fine for first offenders for your pants sagging, $100 ticket for each additional violation. Now, I don't know, like, if the cop's walking toward you, can you just pull your pants up? And that mo just pull them up and be like, what? What, officer? I'm fine.
It's like slowing down at a speed limit sign, basically.
Yeah. But
then that even leads to more persecution, because then you sort of go like, oh, so now it's at the cop's discretion, and I presume he is a beacon, like, he is the ultimate in fairness, like, the world's least bigoted man, the cop who's enforcing this. I'm sure it's just up to his discretion to kind of go like, yeah, absolutely, when this guy says his pants were fine, he was not telling the truth, or he was like, yeah, fuck them, them.
I'm just amazed that they have time to pay attention to this with the vampire problem that they have down there.
Well, the zombies are coming.
That's true.
You mentioned Austin earlier, and I think the thing that distinguishes these kind of towns from the South, from places like Austin, is that if you look at these sorts of towns, they're predominantly one type of race or one type of demographic, and ideas are
hillbilly.
Just like hillbilly, exactly. Ideas are just like DNA. Too much of the same kind has your ideas come out handicapped. Like, you can't have too many of the same people living in one town without ideas coming out wacky and crazy and sounding extremist.
I do want to say, though, I don't think you're meant to call them hillbillies anymore. I think it's just backwoods Americans.
That's
sorry,
the PC term.
Am I the only one that thinks that men in skinny jeans should receive the same fine as anyone in saggy jeans? Like, if you're wearing skinnies, I'm sorry, you got to pay up and make us look at that.
Tired of camel fingers.
Because there's like eight guys in America who can pull off skinny jeans, and none of them are the ones I see wearing them. I don't want to see it, but you can't not see it. You live in L.A., and you see this happen. Listen, this has been fun. I really love this. Did you guys enjoy this podcast?
Hey.
Did I talk too much, or did I allow you guys a chance?
No, you were great.
You're a fantastic talker.
I know
I'm
that.
I'm hypnotized the entire time.
I want to make sure I let you guys, because I'm always worried about that. There's always a line, a balance of the host talking too much or not enough.
No, you definitely crossed it today, but I still love you. That's
ladies and gentlemen, I hope you enjoyed the last appearance of Baron Bond in anything I ever do. If you want to see more Baron Bond, where do you go?
Oh, baronvon.com. And if you haven't seen the TV show I'm on, it's on Netflix. It's called Grace and Frankie.
Woo.
All right.
It's a great show, too, by the way.
Thank you.
Yeah, he's super talented. Yeah. Tamer, where?
Sure, tamerkattan.com. Yeah, that's the best place to see
him. Two T's, right?
K-A-T-T-A-N, just like Chris Kattan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if you want to see more of Matt Kirshen, just do a podcast, and he'll come flying in out of nowhere.
Thanks for having me, man.
Do you find Matt Kirshen?
You can find me at mattkirshen.com, Matt Kirshen on all the social media, and Probably Science is the name of my podcast, on which both Alonzo Baron have guested, and Tamer hopefully soon. But yeah, Probably Science. Check it out.
You're what Trump was talking about. Immigrants coming in here, taking our jobs.
I know, right?
Literally, an immigrant walked in. And took a job. It literally happened.
You just left the door open a crack, and then like, where's the wall? There's no wall at the front of this stage. You need to build that wall.
I am Alonzo Bowden. The podcast is called Who's Paying Attention. Thank you so much for listening, and thank you all for being here live. We want to thank today's sponsor, Audible.com, and remind you, you are entitled to
to a free audiobook and a free 30-day trial, okay? All you have to do is go to audiblepodcast.com/Alonzo. Choose from over 180,000 audiobooks and spoken word audio products. That's audiblepodcast.com/Alonzo for a free audiobook and a free 30-day trial.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years, one of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny. And I love you.